Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat is 604 and three quarters up four. Soft September, 522 and a half down one. September corn, 336 and a half down four and three quarters. December, 346 and a quarter down five and three quarters. September soybeans, 1072 and a half down eight and a quarter. November, 1007 and a quarter down 12 and a half. September soybean meal, 440.50 down 670. September soybean oil, 31.90 up 17 cents. October live cattle, 156.17 and a half up 75. September feeders are 221.80 down 90. And October lean hogs are 102.62 and a half, and they're up 152 and one half.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
This morning, the European Central Bank lowered its benchmark interest rate to 0.05% from the previous record low of 0.15%. After that announcement, which surprised many in the trade, the U.S. dollar surged higher. In fact, is now trading above a long-term downtrend line that goes through the 2010 and the 2013 highs. What are we to make of all of this?
Well, what it tells you is that world bankers is still a race to the bottom. Who can devalue their currency the most? So probably what this is going to react, it'll probably force the Fed to continue their easing. And anybody thinking that interest rates are going to go higher in the U.S. is probably going to miss it, because I don't think the U.S. economy is strong enough for higher interest rates. So my guess is that the easing part of the Fed is going to continue. But anytime you get the dollar to strengthen like it has here over the past several weeks, it's going to, be negative toward exports, because it makes our commodities in the world market more expensive, and it allows us to buy more foreign goods at a cheaper price. So it really isn't good when you look at it from a jobs situation, because we'll be able to buy stuff cheaper elsewhere, so there's no incentive in the U.S. economy to create new jobs.
What do we make of this from a technical standpoint?
Well, we had a head and shoulders top type formation here in the weekly weekly chart. It looks like that has failed. And anytime you get a chart formation that fails, it viciously goes the other direction. So my guess, looking at the actions, we're going to go right on up, and we're going to check out this resistance point, or the high that we made during July 2013, which is up there around 84.73. But when you look at it from a longer-term perspective, we're still in a big pennant-type formation coming off of our 08 lows of 70.69. We had a 2011 low of 72.69, and then you can go along the top. We had a high of 89.86, and 87.93. So we are still in a long-term pennant formation, and the rule of thumb on that is markets break out of the formation the way they go into it, and we went into this on the downside. So longer term, it still says that the dollar probably has downside potential in it to go on down below the 08 low. But this is a monthly chart, so we still have a couple years or so probably to work our way toward the apex of this pennant formation before we have a major breakout.
Let's turn our attention then to corn and beans, which this week both made new lows for their moves in the harvest month contracts, sort of a grinding lower of the both corn and beans. What do we make of that technically?
Well, this is the seasonal descent of September. There's 2 months out of the year that if you would sell corn or soybeans on July 1st and buy it back July 31st, you know, 8 out of 10 years, you would have a profit. And September is another one of those strong months down. If you sell the first part of September and buy it back in late September, early October, that's another 80% probability that you're going to make money. So what we're seeing here is the realization now that the crop is very, very big with those August rains. You know, FC Stone kind of put out a marker how big BIC is as far as production goes. Whether or not Informa Economics and USA confirms those numbers, we'll have to see here in the next few days. But if they are close to what we're going to actually bring home, there's a lot of downside price risk yet in this marketplace. So this is very seasonal. Markets descend in September, and that the descent accelerates during the last 2 weeks of September as harvest begins to spread out. So this is, I think, very typical seasonal price action, what we're seeing here.
How do we measure technically the downside potential risk between now and the end of the month then?
Well, I've kind of viewed the 4th of July chart gap on the December corn, weekly corn chart, as a measuring gap for some time, and that kind of points to downside price risk of like 308, 309, 310 area. If you'd use that measuring gap in November soybeans, it puts a downside around 984, and we're probably within a striking distance or 1 day of that. Longer term, you can probably read the corn chart down as low as 280, and you can probably read the soybean chart down to maybe 775. So it all depends what the actual supply of what size this crop really is. And we're really not going to know much, I don't think, or get a fine-tune until we get into the October report, where there will be some downward adjustments in acreage. But the yields seem to be so big that that's going to offset any kind of downward adjustment in acreage.
So I guess the question then becomes, at the current price level, what size crop do you believe that traders are trading in order to get a handle on where we could go forward?
Well, I think they believe the FC Stone numbers to a certain extent. I think they do believe the average corn yield is in that 174 area. And I think with all of the August rains that they do believe that the soybean yield could be as high as 48 bushels per acre. And I think that's one of the reasons why the market started this descent this week. I mean, we came off of Labor Day weekend, and here we are. I mean, like I said, this is seasonally. The weather forecasts, if anything, probably have been a little too wet, but they're looking more moderate, more normal. We don't, at least for the time being, it doesn't look like there's any frost threat. And that was kind of a worry in the market up through the 9th of September when we have our next full moon. If you're going to get a frost, you usually kind of have something around a full moon when the skies are clear and the clouds lift. You can kind of get some colder air. That seems like that's not in the works, at least for this month. And I think that's what we're seeing in the marketplace.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. September corn, 335 1/4, down 6. And September soybeans are 1072 1/2, down 8 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.